Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
The Lord is God and has given us light. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord. Like those generations who constructed the Tower of Babel, we have become reckless in our confidence and have misplaced our pride. Our hubris has prohibited holiness. Love has been overshadowed by arrogance. People of God, let us acknowledge who and whose we are by offering God our sins, knowing that in doing so, we will be illumined with God's grace. Join me in making our confession by saying together, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to Thee, confessing our faults, confiding in Thy grace, and finding in Thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved of God, the apostles remind us again and again of God's love for the world and for each one of us, that God's beauty is made known in our forgiveness of sin. Christ came among us to teach us this, and the Holy Spirit surrounds us to assure us that we are truly forgiven of our trespasses. By the riches of God's grace, we are refreshed and redeemed. Amen. Let us lift our voices in praise by singing the hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth, hymn number 4 found in your online worship bulletin.
Hymn of grateful praise.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. We pray that you are all safe and well. Wherever you are this morning, we are grateful for your presence. No matter where you are on your journey, you are very welcome here. As always, if you would like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. We are led in worship this morning by the Reverend Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and the Reverend Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow. The first lesson will be read by Maggie Beezer, co-chair of our student deacons and soon-to-be graduate of Harvard College. The second lesson will be read by Karen Alexandra Nogue, class of 2018 and a student in the law school. The organ music is provided by Assistant University Organist and Choirmaster David Von Baron from earlier recordings. Gund University Organist and Choirmaster Edward Jones leads us in the hymns. And Jesus Romoyamas and Jeffrey Blackwell have once again lovingly knit this service together. Today is Senior Sunday, a day to celebrate our graduates. Even though the class of 2020 is spread out across the world, we are thinking of them here and holding them in our prayers. Many familiar faces from the Memorial Church will have their degrees conferred this Thursday at Harvard's online graduation. They include Maggie Beezer, co-chair of our student deacons, May Colby, a teacher in our Sunday school, and May Wang, co-secretary of the U Choir. U Choir members Anna Lee, Isabella Kopitz, Hannah Lemons, Samuel Rosner, Camille Samoth, Patrick Braga, Gregory Lipson, and Crispin Smith will also graduate, as will Matthew Kind and Adonica McRae, who worked in the student oasis and greeted us at the door as we came and went. Our seminarians Grace Killian and K. Marie Tejeda, who blessed us with their pastoral leadership, will also receive their degrees this Thursday. All of these students and many more will graduate into a world sorely in need of their creativity, their commitments, and their expertise. We look to them and all who will graduate this Thursday with hope. After graduation, we will have 3 weeks before the summer term begins, and with it our regular Sunday services. During those 3 weeks, we will continue broadcasting each Sunday at 11 a.m. here on WHRB, drawing on music and sermons from our archive. Next Sunday, we will offer an hour of sacred music chosen by Edward Jones, our organist and choirmaster. On June 7th, we will offer a service of music, scripture, and preaching featuring a sermon by the late Reverend Peter J. Gomes, Pusey Minister of the Memorial Church, from 1974 to 2011. On June 14th, we will broadcast a sermon by Professor Jonathan L. Walton, Pusey Minister from 2012 to 2019, and now Dean of Wake Forest Divinity School in North Carolina. Following each of these services, we will host a live gathering over Zoom for us to talk with each other about where we are now as a community, what the plan for reopening Massachusetts means for our church, where we are in the search for a new Pusey minister, and any other matters related to our life together. These gatherings will meet from 12:15 until 1 on May 31st, June 7th, and June 14th. If you'd like to attend, please email Elizabeth Montgomery at elizabeth_montgomery@harvard.edu and let us know which day you would like to participate. Elizabeth will send you the link that you need to join us. This Friday will be the last day of our daily newsletter, at least for a while, but we will continue to send out our Saturday newsletter throughout the summer so that we can keep you posted on plans for the fall and continue to share many of the same features, reflections, spiritual practices, sermons, and prayers that were included in the daily newsletter. If you'd like to be on our mailing list, please sign up on the homepage of our website, by clicking on the subscribe button. As we come to the moment in our service when we offer one another a sign of peace, I invite you to take a moment to hold our graduates and all students who are graduating this spring in your heart. These students were asked to change course, to change plans on a dime this spring for the good of the whole community. And they have risen to this challenge with grace and creativity and heart. May they experience the joy of their accomplishments and feel the support of their communities this week. And may they experience a moment of peace in the midst of the uncertainty in which we are all living, a moment in which to gather up their energies for the challenges ahead. Thank you, graduates, for all you brought to this community and for all that you will yet teach us about remaking the world. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Our offering supports the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which provides funding to local grassroots organizations that understand the needs of their communities and work to meet them. The Grants Committee supports access to healthy food through meal programs and food pantries, access to summer camps for underserved children, access to tutoring for immigrant high school students, and many other programs. You can find a donate button in the top right-hand corner of our homepage. Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Here ends the lesson.
Cry out loud.
reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native languages of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here ends the lesson.
Holy God, you called us to follow in the ways of your risen Son and to care for those who are our companions, not only with words of comfort, but also acts of love. Seeking to be true friends of all, we offer these prayers. Source of life, you speak the languages of pain, of sorrow, of fear, of despair. Hear all your children who speak, who wail, who whisper in these languages this day. Those who find themselves in hospital beds, or those who wish that they could be at the side of their loved ones, those who gather at the graveside to say farewell, those who worry about where the next meal or the next rent check will come from, those who live in places where peace is just a word, a faint hope, a distant dream, all who are dispossessed and silenced, their humanity ignored, all who hide from the truth, distort memory, and deny the possibility of reconciliation, the cries of all who are exploited, marginalized, abused, and victimized. May all those whose language is rent by pain hear your lamenting with them. God, at times we don't know which way is up and which way is down. We do not know what is real and what is politicized agendas sold to us as facts. We feel vulnerable and exposed, And sometimes we act out in frustration, anxiety, or anger, especially towards the ones we love because they feel safe in this unsafe world. Holy One, we ask for your mercy, guidance, and assurance as we stumble along the uneven road ahead. Sustainer and Redeemer, guide all in seats of authority towards decisions of moral integrity. Be with those who await decisions in the days and years to come. Be with those charged with making exceedingly difficult decisions. We so wish that we could be together to console one another during this difficult time. Remind us that our church is the people, not the building. Open our hearts to love and to see that all people are made in your image. To care for creation and affirm life in all its wonderful diversity. Transform us in the offering of ourselves so that we may be your partners in transformation. To strive for the full visible unity of the one Church of Jesus Christ. God of many languages, you sing a song of joy with us. You join us in the dance of life. Hear all of your children who sing and dance and praise this morning. Those who celebrate new life with all the possibilities of the future. Those who celebrate relationships, both the new and exciting and the long-term yet still exciting. Those for whom the wonder of life fills their being to the limit. May they hear your voice joining in the singing and the shouting. Today we give thanks for your blessing and signs of hope that are already present in the world. In particular, we give thanks for our graduating students, for their families, friends, communities, and educators who have given them roots to ground them and the support to reach for the sky. Lord, grant them imaginations to envision new ways of how the world might be. Grant them wisdom from ancestors, known and unknown. Grant them ceaseless curiosity about creation and humankind. Grant them conviction for justice and commitment to equity. Grant them attentiveness to the gifts and needs of those around, whether they be loved ones or strangers. May they build lives where their deep gladness meets the world's deep need. And above all, may they always know that you love them unconditionally and abundantly. Ignite the fire of hope and fan the flames of possibility in all of us. Transform us into a people who share your love with a world in pain. A people who proclaim your hope into a world given to despair. A people who live as though the world can be changed into the kingdom that is to come. So God, we give you thanks for your constant reminder that you have a vision for our world that far exceeds our present realities. A reality where we hope that earth will in fact be like heaven. It is this radical vision of a new heaven and a new earth for which we pray, using the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us. Let them lead us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then we will go to your altar, O God, our exceeding joy. And we will praise you with the harp, O God, our God. Amen. The stories that Maggie and Karen Alexandra read for us this morning are stories about the struggle to understand each other's languages and how the arrival of understanding, when it comes, can feel like a miracle. The seniors we are celebrating this morning know all about this, I think. Many of them worked hard to learn languages other than their own while they were here. Our choir secretary, Mei Wang, wrote a thesis in which she analyzed literature in English and in French side by side. Mei Colby, a teacher in our church school, devoted herself to the study of Spanish and of American Sign Language. And even those students who did not focus on the study of world languages learned many new languages, the language of critical theory, the language of computer programming, the language of poetry. That's a lot of what being in school is about, the struggle to understand new languages and to learn to communicate in them, a struggle that has the potential to change us radically by introducing us to ways of describing and interpreting our existence that are new to us, and by moving the boundaries of our own perspective further out. This process can be frustrating, though, especially when the languages we're trying to acquire are slow to reveal their secrets, no matter how hard we work at them. As an eternal student of Italian, I often feel like a character in one of Edgar Allan Poe's stories, who describes the experience of listening to the theorizing of a brilliant friend as standing on the verge of comprehension without the power to comprehend. If you've ever sat over a page of Latin or Sanskrit with your head in your hands, or asked someone a question in their native tongue but been unable to decipher their answer, you know how frustrating standing on the verge of comprehension can be. Learning new languages can also be alienating if it feels as if our mother tongue is being displaced. A first-year student in the college, Marissa Joseph, published a beautiful piece on this experience in The Crimson last week that I very much recommend reading. She pays tribute in her essay to the beautiful, supple Creole of her mother and her community, and also worries that it is being superseded in her by the languages she is acquiring in school. "Am I becoming a stranger to those I love most?" she asks. She writes powerfully of fighting to maintain ownership of the lived struggles of her community that she hears discussed in theoretical terms in her classes, and trying, as she puts it, to find a space within my people's tradition for a remixed language that is both broken and Harvard-esque. The story of the Tower of Babel that Maggie read for us is a story about language broken and scattered. An attempt to account for humanity's many languages, this origin story seems at first reading to regard the diversity of human languages as a punishment for human beings who threatened the power of God, using their ability to communicate to build a brick tower up to heaven. "They all have one language," God says, "and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." God seems on the defensive here, scattering human understanding in a show of power. But maybe there is another way to read this story. When God says, "With one language, nothing they propose to do will be impossible," maybe God means that whatever a homogeneous group of people speaking only one language proposes will be lacking in imagination and compassion. Having only one language may thwart the possibility of transformative engagement with each other and the world. Maybe God knows that human beings will find more spacious, generous ways of living through the struggle to understand each other than as a homogeneous group of monoglots piling brick upon brick. Maybe that kind of literal-minded tower building is not what God had imagined for us. Maybe God imagined something more creative, more joyful. 5 years ago, my family had the great good fortune to live together for a year in Rome. Our daughter, also a senior, graduating this afternoon, began taking classes in Italian right away. One evening, she came home from having dinner with classmates from around the world and said, "I want my life to be full of meals like these." Sitting around the table with people who spoke different languages and trying to communicate felt to her like it might be one of life's greatest pleasures. She quickly overtook me in Italian fluency, and so I signed up for a class myself to try to catch up with her. It had been a long time since I'd been a student in a classroom, and I was fascinated by the blend of humility and fearlessness the best students in the class exhibited, their willingness to risk embarrassment and failure over and over again. The star students of language classrooms are the ones most comfortable making mistakes and most eager to be corrected. They are also the ones having the most fun. The star of our class, a young priest from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, who was learning his fifth language, advised me to listen to more Italian music and watch more Italian films. "Don't just do the grammar exercises," he said. "You have to find pleasure in a language," he told me, "in order for the logic of the language to reveal itself." I still think of his advice to me, no matter what I am trying to learn. Unfortunately, long after the story of the Tower of Babel was written, the old desire to build structures that enshrine a single language, a single perspective, seems as strong as ever. Barriers and towers are being built brick by brick all the time, both literally and figuratively. Even in the midst of this pandemic, when we need more than ever to learn with and from each other in all the languages we can muster, there are those using this crisis as an opportunity to further harden our borders, viewing other languages and the stories and perspectives they bring with them with suspicion. In his powerful Guantanamo diary, Mahamadou Ould Salahi, who was detained without charge in Guantanamo Bay for 14 years, writes of being told by an interrogator there that speaking multiple languages is one of the, quote, criteria of a top terrorist. But working in multiple languages is actually the mark of a person of faith. In Rome, it almost felt like a Christian obligation. Worshipping among the crowds in St. Peter's Square, I heard prayers offered in Mandarin, Arabic, French, Swahili, and Malayalam, scripture read in Spanish, English, and Italian, the Lord's Prayer sung in Latin. It's hard to imagine anyone present understanding everything. At some point in the service, everyone would have stood on the verge of comprehension, recognizing the familiar sound of longing prayer and praise, but not knowing the words. You couldn't help but wonder what fresh understanding of our faith might be available to us if we could pray in all those languages. In the story of Pentecost that Karen Alexandra read for us from the Acts of the Apostles, we see the frightened disciples of Jesus struggling with how to communicate what had happened to them, how even after his death, Jesus lived and continued to call them more deeply into the life of the world. Licked by tongues of flame and filled with the Holy Spirit, they find themselves suddenly able to speak in many different languages and to be understood by native speakers of many places, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Egypt, Libya, Rome. What seems at first like a reversal of the story of the Tower of Babel becomes something even better. Rather than returning the human race to a single language, God reaffirms the goodness of the variety of languages in which human beings struggle to speak of the things that matter most. On Pentecost, rather than scattering in confusion like the tower builders of Babel did, people of many tongues gather close and listen together. But even as they understood all the words the disciples were speaking, they still had to ask, what does this mean? Comprehension does not necessarily arrive when we have looked up all the words, or taken all the classes, or received our degrees. The place where we glimpse the meaning of what we've learned is in the life we share with others. Those who heard the disciples preach on Pentecost understood the words, but that was only the beginning. It was in the life they lived together that their answers to what does this mean began to take shape. I hope this will be true for all of you, especially those of you who graduate this week. I hope that you will bring your fluency in the languages of history and anthropology, queer theory and feminist theology, poetry and biology, to a world in dire need of new perspectives and better directions, and ask, what does this mean? I hope you will stand with others on the verge of comprehension and experiment with answers that take everyone into account. I hope you will test the weight and heft of your new languages within your communities, asking how well they communicate across boundaries, translating them, or better, following Marissa Joseph and remixing them to make them supple enough to cross boundaries and take detours and speak to the realities of our embodied lives. I don't know if this will happen next Sunday because of the continuing threat of COVID-19, but ordinarily, on the Feast of Pentecost, people from many nations and languages line up early in the morning outside the Pantheon in Rome, hoping to get a place inside for the Pentecost Mass. The Pantheon, which, as its name suggests, started out as a temple to all the gods, has an oculus in its dome which allows light to move through the building as the earth turns. That oculus has never been covered. It has stood open like the threshold between heaven and earth, no matter which gods were being worshipped beneath it. Looking up through it at the unadorned sky, you could be standing in any moment in time, next to all who have ever stood beneath it and lifted their faces. On Pentecost, Roman firefighters climbed to the top of the Pantheon's dome with backpacks full of thousands of red rose petals. And at the end of the service, they pour them through the oculus to recall the tongues of flame that hovered over the heads of the disciples. Some of the people standing below will have heard the gospel proclaimed in their own language. Others will have heard it in a language they can't understand. But when the rose petals begin falling down from above, they become for a moment like the Parthians, Judeans, Romans, and Arabs who heard the gospel in their own tongues. They might not know each other's languages, but when the rain of rose petals begins, they all turn their faces in the same direction, toward the sky, toward beauty, toward light. What does this mean? The first Pentecost congregation asked, and they kept trying to find out through breaking bread together and praying for each other, by studying together and sharing fellowship together, by pooling their goods and possessions and caring for the needs of the community out of that abundance. Even on the Feast of Pentecost, even on the Feast of Graduation, we remain on the verge of comprehension, called not to perfect understanding, but to the imperfect life of community. Here at the intersection of the known and the unknown, there is room to have our understanding shaped by solidarity with speakers of many languages, and room to turn our faces together toward a possible future in which the dignity of everyone's humanity is cherished and protected. Amen.
Go forth for God, go forth to the world.
May God be for us, and we for one another, a defense in emergency, a harbor in shipwreck, a refuge on the journey, shade in the heat, light in the storm, a staff on the slippery slope, joy amid suffering, consolation in sadness, safety in adversity, and caution in prosperity, that we may safely arrive where we are boldly going. Amen. This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.